Blog Talk Radio.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. الرحمن الرحيم. مالك يوم الدين. إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين. اهدنا الصراط المستقيم. صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Latifa A. Hameen, the CEO for American Muslim 360, the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice is protected.
The views expressed by the host guests are their own and not necessarily the position of AM 360 or the parent corporation, the Community-Wide Shura Conference, CWSC Incorporated. AM 360 content is intended as a community service and is not designed to provide specific personal, medical, financial, or legal counsel or other professional advice, and no liability shall extend to the host or hostesses of AM 360 or CWSC. We encourage you to seek an advisor for your specific circumstance.
Community-Wide Shura Conference and American Muslim 360 invites you to promote your organization or event on the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice protected. Affordable rates allow you to promote your event, product, or service and strengthen our national intelligentsia network. Contact corporate underwriting today at info@cwsc.us. That's info@cwsc.us. Or call 910-317-0297. Again, 910-317-0297. Together we can remake the world.
Assalamu alaikum. This is your brother Kareem Hamid, inviting you to join in the study group of the lecture of Imam Warisuddin Muhammad Rahimallah Alayhi, broadcast Saturday morning at 6 a.m. Central Standard Time here on American Muslim 360. The first hour, we shall play a lecture or address from Imam Warisuddin Muhammad Rahimallah Alayhi, and in the second hour, we shall open up the telephone line and share with each other the various beneficial points of interest contained in the lecture or address. So join the study group of the lectures of Imam Warisuddin Muhammad Rahimallah Alayhi on the evolution of revolutionary thought and created purpose every Saturday at 6 a.m. Central Standard Time on American Muslim 360. Let's share. Thank you.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له أشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله الحمد لله الحمد لله نستعينه نستغفره ونؤمن به عز وجل سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك وتبارك اسمك وتعالى جدك ولا إله إلا أنت آمين We begin with Allah's name, most merciful benefactor, most merciful redeemer. I bear witness there is no God save Allah alone, and that there is nothing worthy of worship or praise except Almighty God, Allah. And I further bear witness that Muhammad, to whom the Quran was revealed, is indeed Almighty God's most humble servant and most noble and generous messenger. All the praise is due to Almighty God, Allah. We ask him for help. We turn to him for forgiveness. We believe and we trust in him. Mighty and sublime is he. Alhamdulillah, glory is to you, O Allah, and to you is the praise. And blessed is your name, and there is none to be worshipped besides you. Ameen. As-salamu alaykum. That is peace be unto you, the peace that only Almighty God can give. We welcome you once more back to the airways of American Muslim 360 for the broadcast of the evolution of revolutionary thought and created purpose. I am your host along with you this morning, Kareem Hamid. We shall share with you a very valuable address entitled Creator and Creation. We was able to broadcast part of it last Saturday. Praise be to Allah, part two, last Saturday. Only a part of part two. And I said that inshallah we shall pick up where we left off or address entitled Creator and Creation. I humbly ask if you would to have pen and a paper with you, take down notes, and be willing to share what Allah blessed you with from out of these wonderful lectures and addresses. We're seeking to engage our group intellect and to glean from the featured lectures of Imam Muhammad's knowledge, wisdom, and direction for the practical application in our personal and community lives. These study sessions are open to all serious, well-meaning people. Praise be to Almighty God. And we find it most valuable to review, go back, take our time and review the addresses and lectures, and we will run into some jewels, valuable things that we may have overlooked in the past hearing of these addresses and lectures. So I'm grateful that you are here, and I want to begin this lecture. It is part two. It is part two. It is entitled Creator and Creation. Creator and Creation. I know I can't start it exactly where it ended at, but if you wouldn't mind, I would like to start part two at the beginning of part two. That way, there's an easy flow, inshallah. So without further ado and further statements from me, I bring you the address Creator and Creation. The speaker is Imam Waqifuddin Muhammad, and may we all benefit from the hearing. Please take notes and be willing to share. Inshallah.
The reason? We have our reason. And we don't need their philosophies or their ideology.
Let me state at this point that Imam is mentioning how El Islam and us being Muslims and believers, that gives us independence, praise be to Allah. That gives us security and safety. We're not looking for a life. We're not looking for a platform upon which to build our lives. We are not dependent on the Western culture to support us or jettison us forward. El Islam is enough as a system of government and a system of behavior to meet all of our needs and aspirations. So he is expounding on that point at this time. Let me begin the address once more. Praise be to Allah, just to keep us up to speed.
We don't need their religion. We have our religion. And we don't need their philosophies or their ideologies. We have ours. It's in the Quran and in the Sunnah of the Prophet and in the wisdom of the Muslim scholars. We don't need anything from them. No. In fact, our presence in any non-Muslim country, if we be Muslim, is a blessing to that people. Yes, it's a real blessing to that people. If we be really Muslim, they don't have much to offer us. No, indeed. And if you all stop following their sense and start following Islamic sense, you'll do better as families. You'll do better as business people. You'll do better even in America's politics. Yes, if you stop following their senses and start following the sense of a Muslim, obedient to the word of God and the Sunnah of the Prophet, you'll find that you'll make much more progress. The most progressive people in this country, materially speaking, and in the sense of achievement, social achievement, cultural achievement, according to studies that have been done recently, is the Jew. Now, how come the Jews stand out for financial success and all other kinds of success as a people, for the people? How come he stands out? Because the Jew, to this present time, has been successful at keeping to his own way of life. He's in America, but he's a Jew. He supports America, but he's a Jew. He thinks Jew. He lives Jew. He has his own view of reality from a Jewish knowledge base. He stands on Jewish knowledge. And then he looks at the world and he says the Jewish eye, what the world is, what the world should be, part of the truth. And a Muslim should understand that you have the greatness. Now, the only way you want to realize that is holding true to your religion and to your life form. The Muslims under Prophet Muhammad realized that because they held true to their religion. They held true to the Islamic life form. They pursued Islamic goals, not the goals that the world suggested, as we are doing. That is what you're pursuing goals that this world suggests to you. You're not looking at your religion. You're not studying the Quran or studying the Sunnah or studying the history of this religion to see what should be your goals that you should be pursuing. No, you're getting your cues from the environment of the world. In other words, then you are not under the power of your religion. You're under the power of the world. The world is forming you. The world is forming your future. And that's why we are weak as Muslims in this country. When we get our life into our hands sufficiently, like the Jew has his life in his hands, but I hope we can do it even better. We should. We would have done much better. When we get our life in our own hands and we start living our life in accordance with our religion, buddy, we are going to become a progressive people in this country. And not only in this country, wherever we live. We're talking about a revelation that has not been challenged successfully, the Quran. We're talking about a reputation of a man, of a successor, of a successful leader, a triumphant leader, Muhammad, peace be upon him. We're talking about a record that has not been challenged successfully. Huh? And we're also talking about a history cannot be matched. During the time that the accomplishments were realized, the short period of time, and the longevity of that life for a nation like Spain, a country founded by the people of North Africa. By the people of North Africa. Not Spain itself, but that all of Spain that survived under the Muslims were established under Muslims from North Africa. Some of them might have been your forefathers, but that's a fact. In fact, nobody would be so foolish to say that none of their descendants are among us. There must be some of their descendants among us. In fact, I remember my father showing us a newspaper clipping with a man on the slave block being sold, and he was dressed like a Moor of Northern Africa. He had that dress. And one of the names they used to give us was Blackamoor. Called us Negro, they called colored people, they called us black. They also called us Blackamoor. So they must have thought, too, some of us descended from the Moors.
Okay, I'm going to return back to the studio. I've already wrote some very valuable notes at this juncture in the lecture. Praise be to Almighty God Allah. It is to drive the point home that we're not shopping for a way of life. We're not looking for a system of government. We're not looking for a financial ideology. We are not looking for a way to structure our lives individually or as families or as communities. We are not searching for that. Almighty God has already provided those ideologies, those principles for us. Matter as the Imam said, we don't need anything from them. From who? The Western culture, from the world. Let me just say that from the world, period. Communism, capitalism, socialism, we don't need anything from them. We should not be shopping among them. Matter of fact, they got their ideas, especially the West. They got their ideas from the Quran, the Sunnah of Prophet Muhammad, a structure of government that was established in Medina, Manawa, the city of enlightenment. This world borrowed heavily from Islam to add to whatever form of government and behavior that they have. We don't have to borrow from them. They are borrowing from us, no doubt about that. We don't have to shop the world looking for a system of government, a way to behave, a way to live, a way to structure our family. None of that the world has borrowed from. Islam, they have borrowed from the way of life that they witnessed among Muslims. They have borrowed from the Quran directly. Matter of fact, one of the so-called fathers of this nation, Thomas Jefferson, he was an avid student of the Quran. And you can believe that if he had a Quran, men of his intellect had Qurans also. And they borrowed from the Quran and the life example of Prophet Muhammad in an attempt to structure a more perfect union, as they use that type of language and that type of thinking. Praise be to Almighty God, Allah. So we are not shopping. We are not looking for a way of life, Almighty God has already provided an ideology for us, an ideology that has stood for 1,445 years, praise, and still growing strong, praise be to Allah. So all of our judgments, all of our planning should come from the revealed word of God and the life example of our beloved Prophet Muhammad. The more we study the life of Prophet Muhammad and the teachings in the Quran, the more fulfilling our life becomes. We are part we are competing, praise be to Allah, for the hearts and minds of human beings. We are competing. Islam is an ideology designed, as the Imam shared with us, designed to reform the whole world. Praise be to Almighty God, Allah. So we are blessed people. We are blessed that Almighty God blessed the human being with the final revelation, the Quran, and with the best example for all humanity, the life of our beloved Prophet Muhammad. You will find in Muhammad the most excellent model for any who believes in Allah and the last day. No human being will ever surpass the excellence of the humanity of our beloved Prophet Muhammad. Praise be to Almighty God, Allah. So that should strengthen us and know that we're on solid ground. Praise be to Almighty God. Praise be to Almighty God. Alhamdulillah. So I'm going to return back to the lecture. May we feel fortified that we're on solid ground. We are not stumbling around. We're not on undermined sand cliffs. We're on the strongest foundation ever offered to man, and that is the final revelation of the Quran. Praise be to Almighty God, Allah. So we return back to the address, and I ask you, take notes, be willing to share, inshallah.
So all we can do is just speculate and guess as to what the past was for us individually. I'm going to hunt for our roots like Haley did. Come up with a movie. We could do that. But what we can be sure of, if we are true believers, is the future. We can work for an Islamic future. Maybe we're not certain that we had an Islamic past, but we can, if we are Muslims, we can work for an Islamic future. And if we will do that, we will progress ourselves. Not separately like we, some of us do, and it doesn't count for much. We die and we leave nothing back here for the race. It's nothing for the children. But we will progress as a society, as a community of Muslims in America. But we should learn from the unity of creation, the oneness of his nature, his consistent laws, we should learn great sciences and then use those sciences to better our own environment and to make progress for ourselves on this earth. We have to stop thinking spiritually. Religious people are spiritual, but their assignment is on this earth. Until God calls them away from it. Our assignment is on this earth. But we cannot be thinking spiritual if we're a spiritual community. No. We are a dynamic, striving, productive community. If we are Muslim, we're supposed to be working to improve the whole life of man. If we're really Muslim. So let us keep Islamic life before us. and the commitment to community, to community life and community advancement. But God sent Muhammad to us to guide us into community life and into community establishment, that we may be a community on this earth. No matter where we are, we have to live the disciplines of Islamic community life. To live those disciplines is also to have Islamic businesses, Islamic cultural facilities, Islamic outlets told need in your human life. America is a good place for it, because in America, that right is sacred. That's a sacred right in America's law, constitutional law, that every people have the right to practice their own religion, to have their own religious government. Do you know that? Do you know that religious people have the right to their own religious government? That's why there's a separation of church and state, because they recognize church as government and state as government. And the Christians are entitled to Christian government life. Jews, they don't ask anybody for it. They have their government life. They've always had it. They ain't going to change it. Many of the Asians come over here, they have their government life. Doesn't mean that you work against this government. No, this government is so loose. You have to have another government. Yeah, if you don't have another government, you don't have any government. This government is only it's a support. It's a guardian for your government. That's all it is. It's a guardian for the government that you choose. Now, what government do you choose? You choose Islamic government, you choose Hindu government, you choose Jewish government, you choose church government. What government do you choose? Okay, this government is supposed to be a guardian for your government, as long as you're a citizen of this country. But if you don't have no citizen government, this government ain't much for you. That's a fact. I know many of the ignorance among us, they can't understand that, and they can't see what I'm saying. They can't appreciate what I'm saying here. Well, don't call us ignorant, Brother Imam. I called you ignorant in a nice way. I said the ignorant among us. So we got our ignorant, and we got our wise, I hope. Don't be ashamed of somebody saying that you're ignorant. I'm ignorant myself in some respect, maybe in many respects. I'm ignorant myself. And in respect of what I'm saying right now, I'm sure me and you all are ignorant. You don't understand this country's idea. The idea of the American people, this country, this nation, the nation. You don't understand it. And you think that there's only one government. This government, just like it has states within the state, so many states, but all coming under federal government. The one state, the United States. But in the United States, the president come out and gives the State of the Union address, right? The State of the Union address. So the Union is one state, but in that one Union, there are many states. And all the states have their different laws. Huh? And then the cities have their different laws. And little townships have their different laws. And if you want to form your own township, you can form your own township, and your township can have laws for your own needs, that people have to respect when they come into your township. America is a freedom all the way. There is nothing in America that's not free. Even law is free in America. It's free to the point that we can scrap the whole Constitution and bring in another one. Isn't that provided in the Constitution of the United States? Yes! Don't be afraid. I say that to keep making you. Don't be afraid. What are you afraid of? You know, we were slaves for 3 centuries. We were slaves. Not necessarily us yet, but our people. For centuries, we were slaves. And I think still the ghost of slavery is in us saying, is that permissible? And you'll never know what is permissible unless you study it. Why don't you study it? If you're afraid to progress in America because you're afraid to break a law or you're afraid to do something out of order, you think you're going to meet grave consequences for doing it, then if you want to be bigger and more progressive, you want to get more, you want to have more supposed to study America's law. Study its constitution. Study its history. Study its idea. And if you come to know it better, you realize then that you have much more freedom than you're asking for. Black people don't ask for much freedom. Just want the freedom to work. And really, we don't want the freedom to work. Most of us just want the freedom to eat, sleep, have sex, have fun, die. Now, that's the truth. That's the fact. Most of us, that's the limit of our freedom, all the freedom we want. Say, oh, hey, what is this great idea you Muslims got? How much money we all got? Because money means party, a woman, food, drink, eat. So really, you don't want no money. If you wanted money, you get into economics. Get into financing. If you want some money, really, you don't want no money. You want sex. You want some liquor, some drinks, and some food. You want to eat. You want to be warm. You want to look good. Let me dress up, you see. You want to ride around a nice car. But really, you don't want no money. You want looks and feelings. Huh? He just wants looks and feelings. That's all he wants. Because if he wanted money, he wouldn't be asking for those things. He would ask for money. He wouldn't even ask for a job. He would ask for freedom. Huh? He'd ask for freedom. Because if he's free, and if he's got what it takes, he can get whatever anybody else can get. They called me up at home, and they told me that it was late for Juma. Should they start? But I told them, since you called me and don't start, wait. I was on the way. I was going to be late. So I know a lot of you say, I wish you had not come. Sorry if I'm holding you from something very important. Yes. So there's no way for us except to be true to the religion. That's the only way. Be true to the religion and we'll get everything. God will then bless us. Everything else will be answered. We get all the other needs will be taken care of. Just be true to the religion. And believe me, there's no way for us to be true to this religion and just come here and pray and go home. Prophet Muhammad, unlike the other prophets, he gave us big, big responsibility in the world. Prophet Muhammad, he didn't allow the Muslim to be outside of the work of the community and receive merit, praise, and honor. No. He played down the importance of those who just went about their spiritual duties but weren't doing something constructive for society, weren't doing a work that benefited society. Prophet Muhammad says the best of you is the most useful of you to humanity. Best of you is the most useful of you to humanity. And the best of you is the one, best of you is also the most useful of you to his community, to the Muslim, to believers. See? So whoever benefits man the most, what are you doing to benefit the man? What are you doing to benefit your society?
Okay, praise to Allah. I'm returning back to the studio board to see if anyone has pressed one on their phone to share what Allah blessed them with. Praise be to Almighty God, Allah. We shall pause now for some important public service announcements. You're listening to American Muslim 360, the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, an intelligentsia component of the community-wide Shura Conference. And this is the broadcast of the evolution of revolutionary thought and created purpose. I am your host, Kareem Hamid, along with you this morning as we study the lectures and addresses of Imam Waqifuddin Muhammad so that we can utilize Imam Waqifuddin Muhammad's knowledge, Rahimahullah Alayhi, his wisdom, and most important, the direction for the practical application in our personal and community lives. Praise be to Almighty God Allah. Don't touch that dial.
We'll be back in a while. God willing, inshallah. Press 1 on your phone. I will unmute your mic.
God's peace be upon you. God's love be upon you. God's compassion be upon you. The one soul of humanity. May we let it be in thought and in action. On behalf of CWSC Intelligentsia, the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice protected, American Muslim 360, the Speakers Bureau, the Model Community National Resource Directory, the Volunteer Human Resource Network, Scholarship, the Learning Lab, Ambassadors, National Leadership Advisory Council, Internship, Leadership Development Council, the Think Tank, Strategic Family Institute, the bookstore. May we share completely humanity in spirit and in form, from thought to action. God's peace, God's love, God's compassion. Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum. Welcome to AM 360. Join your host, Munira Habil, every Tuesday from 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time as we explore relationship topics addressing what we didn't know, what we've learned, and what we need to know and why. Because on this show, it's all about courtship and marriage.
And we are back. I see one of our students has raised their hand. I'm answering the raised hand at 727-741. Please state your name and where you're calling from, please.
Hi, Martha Naila Abdullah, calling from St. Petersburg, Clearwater, Florida. And greetings of peace to everyone. And the continuation of this month, this first month of the Hijri calendar, Muharram. Praise be to Almighty God. And thank you, Kareem. Truly, you know, the listening process is all for, when we listen, we're taking pieces of, and I'm saying listening in any sense. Once we've listened to something, then we take from it what we can use. At the moment, you know, and then we go ahead and apply it. And I know that's one of the processes here. So finally, I'm asking myself, I'm saying to myself, and I pray that everyone truly can connect to what I'm about to say. There's a formal, as the man was speaking about government, too, and there's a formal and an informal process of how we're living. And that informal process, there are certain guidelines, you know, such as we get up in the morning and we do certain things and we connect with our families or we greet ourselves. Even if we're living by ourselves, we greet something in our life. We greet it. And then we go on to impart, you know, do different things. And definitely if someone is present and you're just waking and they're present already awake and moving about, then you do the greeting first. And if you enter a room, you greet. That's the informal process. And it also goes over into the formal, but the formal part I'm looking at is here we are, we now, I'm speaking of the Muslim community that the Imam is the minds of those that the Imam is speaking to, and what his purpose was, what was he really wanting to do was elevate our thinking to the point that we realize the value of being human and our true value of being a citizen in this country. And that value then evolved to the official capacity that we rise to when we're saying this. I'm connected with the leadership of Imam Morsi Muhammad. What does that mean? And so when I'm engaged now in community work and meeting with city hall individuals and such, it's one thing to enter and do it on an informal person one-on-one kind of basis, but it's another thing when you address the body as representing a true leadership. And all of us who are studying, it's like we can't go back into the hole, into the womb. We have to go forward, and we have to recognize ourselves as being a part of the leadership. And that connects us then. There's a process identifying that I'm speaking now to paperwork. What do you call it? A letter of introduction. And once we, and as we did here in St. Petersburg, once we identify that we're with a particular leadership, then those entities begin to look and expect something from you and reference to that leadership. And I'm now looking at I'm drawing now to every one of us throughout the country who are participants are going to a masjid every day or at least every Friday, whatever, but identifying with that masjid, that's a leadership. And that leadership is connected for those who are in association with the leadership of Imam Warthadeen Muhammad, Rahimullah Alayhi, now has to see that capacity of how that leadership truly is a valuable asset in this country. So the Imam and all of the members that are identified there, when we enter a particular thing and we say, I'm with Masjid Mukminun, I'm whatever masjid, there's an expectation beyond the informal presentation or representation when we enter. We become a part of an organization and we identify, I'm Muslim, but now you're more than just being Muslim. We're representatives of a true leadership. And that's where I'm thinking in my mind now that we have, that's another step that we have to identify with as a beyond just saying, I'm Muslim. No, because when he spoke of the image on the box, when he said about with Moors, had the Moorish, I was trying to picture it in my mind, but anytime someone comes from another country, they're representing their people, but they come in that capacity. And so even though we're here and from city to city, we have to now see ourselves in the capacity of being connected with the leadership. So every time we are part of an organization, we should now take on that kind of identity and representation. That we're not just an individual. We truly are identifying with leadership. I'll stop right there, Imam. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam. Thank you, Martha. Alhamdulillah. And you are a prime example, praise be to Allah, of an excellent introduction of ourselves to our to the community in which we live. If I'm correct, the Islamic community of St. Petersburg of Burr, Florida, is working closely with the government there, with the civic institutions to better the life of human beings in Florida and that city and beyond. Praise be to Almighty God, Allah. May Allah continue to bless you and those that are working with you in the establishment of a better community life. We thank you. May Allah continue to bless you and us. Thank you, Mark.
Praise be to Allah.
Thank you. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam. If you would press 1, that'll take you out of the queue. And if you wish to share once more, press 1. I will open up your mic, inshallah. Okay. Erico 321917. Assalamu alaikum. Welcome to the Evolution of Revolutionary Thought and Creative Purpose. Please state your name and where you're calling from, please.
Wa alaikum assalam. Just was reflecting on the ma'am talking about how governance happens. You know, you gave us an excellent outline, education, business, culture, government as a focal point. And he was elaborating on how systems of governance takes place in this country and how we should see our religious philosophy and views as a system of governance for us. And we should be looking through that system to evaluate how to live and act in this country and not let the country's views be the first influence in our actions and living standards. And I think what was really important that stood out for me is that when he was explaining the process of how different communities live their life through their faith-based belief system and then make a contribution from that perspective, that he invited us to study. That if you can't, you don't understand it, then you need to study. You need to study. So we need to be correctly informed when we interact with the community. We should make sure that our leadership or our group effort is really representing what is the prophet. And he went straight to the source, the Quran and the prophet's example of how we are to be living and also engaging community life, interacting with others through our faith initiative. And I guess what was highlighted, what stood out for me, and for many reasons, is that being informed Muslim.
Hey, ma'am, could you speak up a little louder? Your voice is slightly faint. I can hear you, but the volume is very low.
Okay. Yeah, being informed Muslims was what really stood out for me about it. He said we should study. And so when we are representing the religion, we should definitely have knowledge of this deen and how it's supposed to be lived and represented. And that should be obvious, too. So that's really what I wanted to highlight, we have to know the religion, understand the religion, and when we are representing, we should be thinking out we are representing this religion in a proper light. So I've seen that as something that we've not always been conscious of and paying a lot of attention to. So thank you for the lecture, very, very informative with many, many, many points there to be gleaned and just even the short presentation. So thank you, ma'am.
Thank you, Imam Delaysi. Umar wa alaikum as-salam. Alhamdulillah. And I want to invite the listening audience to tune back in to American Muslim 360. Following this program, partake in the broadcast of Preparing to Make It in the Land of Plenty, hosted by our beloved Imam DeLacy Omar and facilitated by a special recurring guest, Professor Rabbani Muhammad, and the commentary of Michael Hamid. Professor Rabbani is an expression of the heading that we had over Muhammad Speaks newspaper. The hands, the African hands reaching from America to the continent of Africa, and exchange. Praise be to Allah. Professor Rabbani has business interests throughout the continent of Africa and other communities also. So we invite you to tune in for Preparing to Make It in the Land of Plenty, inshallah. Thank you.
Imam, if I may, let me just add, today's program is going to be on building community life and its needs, autonomy, association, collaboration, affiliation. I'm going to be having some discussions, and I invite the audience to share that their opinion on these things. How do we have an autonomous relationship in our community life as we are in different areas, but also have collaboration, association, and affiliation? Inshallah, that's going to be the discussion today. Building strong model community life. Thank you. 10 a.m. after your program, we look forward to contributions from our listeners. Inshallah. Assalamu alaikum.
Alhamdulillah. Thank you, Imam DeLacy Omar. We look forward to this excellent broadcast. Praise be to Almighty God Allah. So if you would press one, that'll take you out of the queue. And if you wish to share once more, press one. I will recognize your hand and open up your mic. Thank you, Imam DeLacy Omar. Praise be to Allah. Okay, we move forward. We have another person has raised their hand. Error code 706-627. I believe this is Muhammad out of the Ummah of Prophet Muhammad by the way of Columbus, Georgia. Praise be to Allah. Assalamu alaikum, Muhammad. I think your phone is on mute.
I always need your help, brother man. That's why a good body is a good head.
We need
but anyway. Yes, sir. I've got to tell you. I thank Allah much. Just wanted to briefly cover what we all did talk about this morning and every day of our life. Look what Allah has left us. In the whole world to see his foundation that he has left for all human beings. He raised from amongst the world a person to follow in the example of what he left the world in human form. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Imam W. Muhammad, the whole world knows it. The whole world seen us put together six sectional imams, a body of one-minded people who are struggling and trying to hold on to the rope of Allah. And there's somewhere in between 300 to 400 imams who come together every quarterly, struggling to maintain this structure. That the whole world seeing Allah raise a human being for all of the world to establish a way to talk and communicate with each other through Shura. Then he gave us an umbrella to now formulate this model community called Al-Islam. And it was called Mosque Cares. And he even gave us the halal structure to start to establish the financial, halal, purified money to do this building. Also, he has given the number one voice in America and the world is coming together before their eyes as, again, an extension of the mercy he has shared through his Quran, his life of Prophet Muhammad, and in this reality, the leadership of Imam W. Muhammad, and now his community. I ain't going to say students. We're all students. We say that all the time. We just need to mean it. And we are bringing together the number one Islamic voice, not the voice of history. That'd be coming out of our voice. But it's the number one voice of the foundation that Almighty God Allah has left to the human family if they listen to it. And when we come aware of the miracle of the Quran, when it brings the mind of the human being that exemplifies the mind for those who believe to follow, man, we're going to see progress beyond our human imagination. We've seen it in Imam Muhammad. Imam Muhammad passed it on, this mind, to us. And he said, now I have returned you back to the best human mind excellence in reality of the human family since the creation of Adam. And we learn from that mind, he says to us, that Allah says, why do y'all cling so heavily to the minds of the past which has only led you astray? You come back, you leave. You come back, you leave. He said, I've been raising ones from amongst you for the last 1,400 centuries since I gave you my final miracle, my final revelation, my final human example, except yourself. He said, because when you save your own soul now, the whole world will be able to save their own soul and their loved ones' own soul of those who believe in one God in the hereafter. So the businesses and everything we need, we still have the structures that Allah left to us in the life cycle of Imam Warqi Muhammad, who has now passed it back to its original example. The human being who Allah raised for all the world to see it, of the human being in its final completion. We just one step away from crossing over to the aqua into the Jannah, right here on earth. If Allah permits with this the Jannah to be. Or wherever it is, we are just a bridge step away from going over this fire into the land of milk and honey, or like a brother likes to say, in the land of plenty. But we have to remember, why do we cling so heavily to the minds of the past? And in closing, when we look at not the millions of excuses, I ain't going to say excuses, I'm going to say the million of needs that the human family thinks that it needs to follow Almighty God Allah, we need to start eliminating them. We don't need anything except the two things that Allah left us, the Quran and the human example of that Quran in the life cycle of Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, which will be here until the day of judgment. It don't get no better than that. No wonder Allah said, I have surely made this life, Al-Islam, easy for those who believe. Just want to say that. Appreciate that.
Thank you, my brother.
As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum as-salam. Thank you. Praise be to Allah. We have the best examples given to us in our hands. Praise be to Allah. That is the Quran, the word of Almighty God, and the best human example. In part of this lecture, the Imam expressed that communities in this country have the right to set up their own form of government under whatever ideology that governs them. We see a Mormon they have their ideology, and they have their way of life, and they are thriving. Matter of fact, they are credited with running a whole state in this country. We are aware of people called the Amish. The Amish have their own community, their own system of government, their own system of laws in this, and that is permitted. I think that sometimes, as the Imam say, you act hesitant. You act as if you question your others. Can we do that? Can we set up our own system of government? You know, every time, well, not every time, but in a lot of cases, when this task is mentioned or placed before us, someone will bring up what took place in Rosewood, Tulsa, and other fledgling African American communities that work to establish an independent life for themselves. We do not want to be seen as quitters, as quitters. Those stories are designed to make us think, oh, well, they won't let us do that. Those are standing as beacons to keep us away from establishing independent life. They always bring up Tulsa, Rosewood, and other communities in this country to place fear in our hearts. But we should not fear. We are on the right path, and we shall never give up establishing this way of life, El Islam as a community way of life that we offer as a benefit to this country and the whole world. Don't fear, you know. Will they let us do this? We, praise be to Allah, we are commanded by the creator of the heavens and the earth to establish religious life on this earth. Praise be to Allah. I see another person has raised their hand. Error code 334419. Assalamu alaikum. Whoa, welcome to the study session of the addresses of Imam Waraduddin Muhammad.
Alaykum as-salam. Michael Hameen, Jacksonville, Florida, and thank you for this opportunity to share. Groups like our community or Association of Imam Muhammad, we have the best possible opportunity to have our government, which Imam Muhammad shared, that the United States accommodates that. It accommodates having your own government and having the United States government support that because of the nature of the governmental order of the United States. If you don't have your own government, then, you know, you're just at mercy. But I think it's important to remember the African-American or the Negro, you know, we were called colored, nigger. We were produced by a strategy that made us a new people, because the African part of us was systematically worked on by the use terroristic tactics were used to cause us to be dysfunctional. So without an awareness of that conditioning, we're not self-aware that there are issues that we have to be careful about because we did not develop naturally as a people. So I've shared with different groups that I've been studying the nature of the Colored People's Convention movement in the 19th century, and it started when the Free State of Ohio, I believe it was Cincinnati, they, with mob violence, forced the Negroes, the colored people, they forced them out of Cincinnati and made them run to Canada. This was 1829. But right after that, in 1830, over 200 meetings between 1830 and the 1890s, men, women, people like Frederick Douglass, I think before, what's his name, David Walker, were involved in meetings from the East Coast to the West Coast to plan strategies on how to deal with the disrespect of our humanity and, denying civil rights, denying legal rights, denying human rights. So it's always been a challenging environment for us, you know, even way before Rosewood and Tulsa. You know, it's always been a challenging environment, and we find it today. And this Karen movement, I just heard somebody remind us that in the history of our being here in America, we had what was called paddy rollers, and I conclude with this. We had paddy rollers, and we also had the rule that any Caucasian had the right to check us and keep us in our place. So in this time that we're in now, what I like to think of as the fullness of the Gentiles, they're going back to that kind of behavior. You know, they're having psychotic breaks in terms of wanting to check black people in just our normal movement here in America. And I'll stop there.
All right. Thank you, Michael. Praise be to Allah. And I'm aware of that new publication that is sharing the convention movement among the African Americans that began, I think, with 1821, if I'm not mistaken. That movement still is alive and well and moving forward. So thank you, Michael. Praise be to Allah. We have another caller on the line. Area code 213-925. Assalamu alaikum. Please state your name and where you're calling.
Wa alaikum assalam. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. This is Amin Muhammad, Sister Claire Muhammad, stemschool.com. Sister Claire Muhammad, stemschool.com. Alhamdulillah. I'd like to get right to the point. I'd like to hear especially your assessment of the reparations movement. I've heard a little bit what you stated before, but it's so much talk about history going on now. They're talking about the thing they're doing in Florida, the critical race theory. They're talking about 1619 Project. They're talking about a whole lot of history. And our people and the American people, Caucasians, are getting a whole lot of history these days, you know, through the media. They're learning more and more as a defense of the reparations movement. A lot of these states don't want their children to know the truth, to hear the truth. You know what I mean? our leaders, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, Imam Muhammad, you know, I mean, Malcolm X, Marcus Garvey. Our history is replete of our leadership letting us know, making us aware of what's going on and what has happened and everything. Not to be crybabies, not to be beggars or anything, but as a sense of justice, You know, one last thing. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad, in his message to the black man, and also in the back of, I think, Final Call in Muhammad 16, it talks about the obligation of the ex-slave masters to provide our people with so much land, which the imam qualified that and said, well, that was kind of like a strategy. But it was the spirit of Honorable Elijah Muhammad that laid the blame to our former slave masters, you know, in the spirit of that, right? Even though we do know Imam Muhammad qualified that and said, well, that was a strategy, but that Honorable Elijah Muhammad did put that out there, and it's out there for the world to see, you know. And he said that the former slave masters should provide us help for 20 or 25 years, you know. So I would like to hear your assessment of this growing reparations talk in the movement out here in California. Just one more last thing. Out here in California, the governor gave the legislature 2 years to come up with a reparations study and a plan and all that. And they came up with it, I think, July 1st, 2023. It's like maybe 1,100 pages. And they really laid out the history and our history here in America and the plan for reparations. So I would like to hear your assessment, if you could give it to us, my brother, in all due respect. Alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah. Thank you, Amin. And we are grateful for your effort in establishing the Sister Clara Muhammad STEM School. May Allah continue to strengthen you and those who are working with you and others by way of proper education. We speak of reparations, and we're on the right track of proper education. Proper education. The most valuable thing that we lost was a sense of ourself, a sense of our work, a sense of our history. We were entered into in a clinical process to erase our humanity, erase our connection with humanity. A person that does not know their past or not fully aware of their true presence, and they cannot skillfully chart their course forward. So for me, what is occurring now is a system of reparations beyond just financial gain. There's a minister, I think he was on the city council or the school board, but he was connected with civic government in the city in which he lived. And he became so upset with this push against educating the American public concerning critical race theory. He resigned from the board that he was a part of, and he is suggesting to other Christian ministers to teach from your pulpit, give the history in the church, teach our children ourselves, and inshallah, that will restore us back to functioning as a complete human being. To me, reparations mean to repair what was damaged, what was damaged. So for me, that is the greatest form of reparations, to restore the human being back to his original, pure, pristine human nature, a sense of history, a sense of self, a sense of worth, a sense of belonging. To me, that is the greatest form of reparations, to replace what was snatched from us, a sense of human dignity, of human worth, of being a full human being. For me, beyond just monetary, to me, that is the greatest form of reparations, to restore a people back to their original self, their original position as a full, qualified, dignified, honorable human being. And it is gradually taking place with this issue of critical race theory. Almighty God, Allah, creates the environment and the subject matter for addressing the subject. So we see that this subject of critical race theory is it's on the front burner, and I'm grateful to see that there is an effort among African American clergy to give the history. It's about time, other than just urging people to go to heaven, to go to heaven. No, that's only part of the life. We want to live the fullness of this life in this material creation and be qualified to improve on our life and the lives of others. To me, that's my assessment of full reparations. You can hand a fool $100,000. Has that really benefited him, or has that afforded him the opportunity to continue to invest in his foolery? So, yes, I'm not against. Write the check. And those of us that are educating ourselves as to who and what we really are, have the wherewithal, inshallah, to finance our own life and plan our own future. That's my assessment of reparations. I mean, I hope that satisfies your curiosity as to my thinking on reparations.
Alhamdulillah. Thank you, brother. Alhamdulillah.
Yes, sir. Alhamdulillah. Praise be to Allah. So, we shall move forward in the address here, Creator and Creation. And the Imam made it emphatic. We are not just a spiritual community. Do not identify us as a spiritual community, just interested in spirituality and not material reality. In the life of our Prophet Muhammad, we pray the prayers and the peace be upon him. Some of the Sahaba, his companions, came to him and told him of a man that prayed in the masjid all the day long. He met all of his spiritual obligations. He fasted and prayed I'm quite sure did dhikrs. And the Prophet Muhammad asked them. They were lauding this man. The Prophet Muhammad asked them, who feeds him? Who takes care of him? And their answer to him was, we do. The Prophet Muhammad said, then you are better than him. So we are not just a spiritual community. No, we are a balanced community. It is the spiritual that produces the material life. The spirit comes first, and the material follows that. We want to contribute to the total benefit of the broader society. We want to establish a material reality. Praise be to Almighty God. Countries like Spain, Persia, parts of Europe, and Russia benefited greatly from the spread of Islam. Prophet Muhammad, let me say this, upon his victorious entry into the city of Mecca, we pray the prayers of peace upon our beloved Prophet Muhammad. It was called the Day of Victory when they were able to complete the Hajj at the sacred house. He did not remain in Mecca. He did not remain in the environs of the sacred house. He returned back to Medina, where a community was forming, where material was put in place to serve the needs of human beings. He returned back to Medina and continued constructing the government of the community life. Praise be to Almighty God, Allah. Alhamdulillah. So I'll stop right there that we can't just live like widgets, like just pieces in the greater machine. We cannot live our life like that, to, you know, go to work, come home, greet our wives and our children, and eat a dinner, and just live as an individual. And we continue to live that form of life until we transition. That is not living. That is not the life Almighty God designed for the human being, that we just float in society. We are to have a purpose and an aim for the communities and the life and the society in which we live. Our imams, I'm grateful for them, and I am not present at every khutbah or every ta'aleem, but there has to be an encouragement among the congregation from the mouth of the Islamic leader. There has to be encouragement to establish the community way of life. To establish the community way of life. The first half of Jummah is dedicated to the spirituality, to the realization of Almighty God Allah and our connection with Him. The second part of the khutbah, it deals with community concerns. What do we need here to complete our Muslim life? What can we establish to aid us as we live the life of a Muslim community in this country? What can we provide to aid in that effort? Not just come here, hear me give a khutbah, and we go home, and then come back again Friday. Let's see what the imam has for us. He gives a nice lecture, but there are imams that are following the protocol of Jummah. The Jummah is in four stages, as we all know. There are two khutbahs given, two lectures. The first half is dedicated to spirituality and man's connection with his creator. The second half deals with our rational material needs, our rational business life, education, government, culture. That is the second khutbah. And how can we organize ourselves to provide these things for ourselves? Alhamdulillah, I'm back. My phone ran out of power, praise be to Allah, and my call dropped. And I'm grateful for those of you that were patient enough to see what happened. Praise be to Almighty God, Allah. I received a message from my brother Amin informing me that I was disconnected. Praise be to Allah. Let me personally thank him. Amin.
Yeah, no, this is Umar. You opened my mic. I was just trying to get in to let you know you were not being heard. That's it.
Yes, sir. All right, let me return back to the lecture. And thank you, Imam Delaysi Omar. Praise be to Allah.
Close me back up.
So
appreciate it.
Yes, sir. Okay, so we shall return back to the lecture entitled Creator and Creation. Praise be to Allah.
You just feel obedience in your prayers and your devotional thoughts. And how is that benefiting us in this society? Your devotion to
I'm starting back a little bit.
To humanity. The best of you is the most useful of you to humanity. And the best of you is the one. Best of you is also the most useful to his community, to the Muslim, the believers. See? So whoever benefits man the most, what are you doing to benefit the man? What are you doing to benefit your society? You just being obedient in your prayers and your devotional thoughts, and how is that benefiting in us in this society? Is that relieving the financial burden on us? Is that making jobs far jobless? No. So those who get involved and invest in business and make jobs far jobless, and who do scientific work to improve the future for man, they are more valuable according to our Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessing be upon him. And he didn't say nothing that wasn't already in the Quran. Whatever the Prophet has said is already in the Quran. God says, you're the best community brought out for the good of all people. And the Prophet says, the best of you is the one who benefits mankind. It's the same if you understand it. رَبَّنَا لَا تُجَسْتُلُوبَنَا بَعْلِ سَدَيْتَنَا وَهَبْ لَنَا مِنْ لَبُنْكَ الرَّحْمَةِ إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ الْوَهَابِ رَبَّنَا يَسْرِقْ عَلَيْنَا صَبْرًا وَتَّبِرْ عَقْدَامَنَا وَانْصُرْنَا عَلَى الْقَوْمِ الْكَافِرِينَ الحمد لله رب العالمين نحمده على رسوله الكريم صلى الله عليه وسلم على آله وصحبه أجمعين. Praise be to Allah, the Lord of all the worlds. We thank him and praise him on the gift of Muhammad, noble and generous messenger of God. We pray peace and blessings be upon him, on his descendants, his companions, all the righteous. Amen. Allah Most High says in the Quran, وَإِنْ يُرِيدُوا أَنْ يَخْدَعُوكَ فَإِنَّ حَسْبَكَ اللَّهُ.
if they want to burden you and wear upon you, know for surely God is sufficient for you. Now this is what God tells the prophet of God, the prophet, the holy prophet, Muhammad, peace and blessings be on him. There are among the people those who are true and sincere, and they gave their great support to our prophet. And then there were among them also those who were deceitful. They were not sincere. And they did everything to create problems for the prophet. God says to the prophet, in those circumstances, for him to know for sure that God is sufficient for him. Those people would not be victorious. They would not be successful. Almighty God, the same one who, Allah says in his holy book, who alladhi ayyadaka bi nasrihi wal mu'minin. He is the one who has strengthened you with his help, and also the believers. He has strengthened the prophet with his great help, and he's also done that for the believers, the followers who believe the prophet, who believe and follow the prophet, believe in God and believe in the prophet, obey God and they follow the prophet. So God gave his aid to both the prophet and to the believers. We find ourselves in similar circumstances today. If we are really believers, you should be comforted in this belief that just as Allah aided Muhammad and his followers, he will aid us today. And just as our prophet had to be bothered by deceitful people who claim to be among them, as one of them, we will have to be bothered today by deceitful people who claim to be one of us among us, but their purpose is not to support us, their purpose is to add to our problems, to bear upon us, to trouble us, to add burden to us, to wear on us, to be an annoyance, a vexation, a trouble, to wear on the spirit, to make you give up, or to make you half productive. Yes! I like that new saying they got here in this part of the world. When the going gets tough, the tough gets going. That's Islamic. That's Islamic. Yes. The same philosophy may be extracted from the saying in the Quran. Innama al-usri yusra. Surely with difficulty comes ease. It means by facing the difficulty, not running away from it, you will bring a state of ease will come eventually. Won't be long coming either. So actually the same philosophy could be extracted from the Quran. That when the going gets tough, the tough gets going. And again, Lord Allah says that in the Quran, the prophet, surely you have, pardon me, as soon as you have finished from one task, immediately take up another. So that's even the better philosophy, isn't it? It goes further than just telling you to rise up to the challenge. It tells you stay with the challenge all the time. In other words, challenge is good for us. Challenge is good for us. When there's a great challenge, there's opportunity for work and progress. When there's no challenge, there's stagnation. No challenge, stagnation. You become stagnant. You're not doing anything because there's nothing to tell you. So our religion tells us to not to be satisfied without a challenge, without a task. That as soon as you finish one great task, immediately get into another. So man doesn't have to wait for the provide him with a pass. I tell him.
Okay. I must make commentary on that part there. You know, the Christians have a special prayer among them. They pray, they ask. They say, guide me beside the still waters. They're not asking, guide me in the still waters. Guide me beside the still waters. The still waters is stagnation. Nothing grows there. The creatures that live in stagnant water are creatures that you wouldn't take home as a pet. There is nothing of any value growing on still, stagnant water. There is a scum that floats on top of the still waters. It is rushing water that is fresh and vibrant and gives life. I just had to say that on that note there concerning stagnation. Okay, I'm going to return. I see you, Muhammad, but if you would let me return back to the address for a little bit more content, then I will open up your mic, inshallah. I thank you for your patience. Praise be to Allah.
Man should be searching for a talent, searching for a task. That's the science. That's the scientist. The society is just moving along, and waiting and waiting, or just dealing with the things at hand. Science comes out with a new invention and creates great opportunity for work in progress. And the scientist, he wasn't waiting for something to challenge him. He was looking for something, That's Islamic. That's Islamic. So how can you stay at home? And as some of the sisters are saying, let the white man take care of your wife and your children. Keep your light on, your gas on. Keep food in your refrigerator. Even give you some car fare, clothes ration, just taking care of you. The white men say, hey, you black men ain't got no women. My women, what can we say? What can we say with the numbers that we have on welfare? Hey, you talk about your woman, it's my woman. In fact, you my woman too. Yeah. And he said, what can we say? And we say we get the eye of it, we make ourselves look more ridiculous. White man mythology shows four white men holding up the world on their shoulder. I don't see a black one there yet. What part of the world are black men holding up with this show? You know why? It's because he thinks with the brains of a white man. And he's not white. He thinks with the brains of a white man and he lives with the burden of the black man. So he's thinking with the brains of the black man, with the brains of the white man, but the white man's thinking tells, that the black man's body tells him, the black man's burden tells him, the white man's thinking cannot be executed in my body. So he's thinking, he thinks like the white man. He's thinking with the knowledge and the brain of the white man, but he carries the burden of the black man. I can't carry this out, though. You need to think with the brains of the white man and see yourself with the freedom of the white man. Then you'll make it. Think with the brains of the white man and see yourself with the freedom of the white man. Then you'll make it. Don't see yourself with the burden of a black man. Just forget about you black. If you can't think you're white, just think you're no color. You're transparent. Yeah. we stop thinking black, we get somewhere. I have people telling me, oh, you can't do that, buddy, ma'am. You know they ain't going to let you do that, buddy, ma'am. They will be. Do I have some different kind of birth certificate than they have? I have the same birth certificate. Born in this country like they are. When I go get my passport, they give me one just like I saw them. I stood in line with them. They got the same passport I got. Now, why should I think I'm different? By thinking I'm different is what keeps me from enjoying the opportunities that are out there for me. If you all stop thinking black, this community of Muslims will grow. It'll get big. The school will grow, the businesses will grow, and everything will grow. Just stop thinking black. Think Muslim. Muslim American with all the freedom and rights that the whitest man have on this land. That's how you should think. And ain't nothing wrong with thinking like a white man as long as he's thinking right. Because if you're thinking right, you're thinking like a man. Huh? You're just thinking like a man. Just happen to be a white man that represents that kind of thinking right now because there ain't enough of us thinking like a man. These sisters getting tired of you all being taken care of by the white man and talking to them like you a man. They say they're tired of that. And I don't blame them. I told them, I'll support you, sisters. You just lead the way. I guess if we start doing you like the white man did you, maybe you'll wake up. Hey, boy, get over there. Get over there. Take those chairs. But yeah, that's how he did you, right? Hey, boy. You were a boy. I remember when he called you a boy. Okay, boy, hey, get that thing done. Gonna do is take a strap and whip you right in front of everybody. And you go crying, yes, sir, mom, yes, sir, mom, yes, sir, yes, sir. You did that once, you can do it again. Thank you, now there's another man mine for a man. You know what I'm saying? Most of our men are not as much man today as they were 100 years ago. Losing the masculinity from our men, dying.
Okay, I'm going to return back to the studio board. I see Muhammad's hand is raised, and I want to answer his raised hand. It's being said, males are losing their masculinity. Whether that's true or not, it's being loudly announced, a loss of masculinity. So I won't make any more statements on that. I'm going to open up the mic of Muhammad. Eric, 706-627, Muhammad, assalamu alaikum. Take your phone off of mute. Okay, Muhammad. All right, maybe he's not near his phone. I'm going to open up the mic of 727-741. Assalamu alaikum. Please state your name and where you're calling from, please.
Martha Nyla Abdullah calling from St. Petersburg, Clearwater, Florida. And praise be to Allah. I guess I can do a one-linery, ma'am. Greetings of peace again to everyone listening now and later. And the imam said it, you know, when he was talking about speaking about the usefulness and how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed it, how we read it in the Quran, and then when we read it, how the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam stated it, and I'm sure how we say it, but the usefulness is very important of our thinking onto our acting. But then when the imam said, you know, and I had to think about that, the mind, and he said the mind of a, when he said that, the mind of a white man in the body of a black man, and then he said, don't think that, don't think of yourself in, you know, the transparency, think transparent if you have to. And it took me back to discussions that I've mentioned before, discussions we've had here locally, and wanting to rise above the racial climate, you know, what was present, and the racial divide, I should say. And in the discussion, no matter what we said, everything was leading back to what is the marking that you're using, and it was all calculated around and what they have, rather than being a servant of God and seeing that as the height of what we're striving for. And I'll stop right there. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam. Thank you, Martha. Praise be to Almighty God Allah. Alhamdulillah. You know, knowledge is transparent. There's no such thing as white knowledge, black knowledge. There's no such thing as Hispanic knowledge. There are differing cultures. But knowledge in general is transparent. It is the property of every believer, of every individual. So I thank you, and I take the advice of Imam Muhammad, stop thinking in color, just think transparent, and the value of what has been offered to us. Okay, I'm opening up the mic of 727-408. Assalamu alaikum.
Alhamdulillah, this is Bilal, Tampa, Florida. Praise be to Allah. I remember the time Sister Manira had a show, and she was saying, you know, sisters get together, and they talk about the fact that they need to be married. It's a very, very serious problem, and brothers not, stepping up to the plate. But we, you know, we do our research and our soul, and be honest with our situation, you know. We many of you just don't view yourself as going into the business arena. But our community, the individual himself, when they think like that, they're suffering. And we should encourage each other. Men should encourage each other. We talk to each other about business, because, you know, it's, you know, just the thought of sisters meeting like that and talking about brothers not stepping up and ain't taking care of no business. But that's a deep slap in our face. That's a slap, kind of slap in the face that can wake us up, you know. Because look at this, we can't step back anymore and say that it's our return. Allow them to raise us up. It's our return. What are we lying? Are we on the radio lying? I came on the radio, I said that, but I'm lying because I'm not making no effort towards this. So what it is, something wrong with my mental capacity, my ability to reason, to make statements like that, and then in reality not move towards it. So we have to be, you know, we have to just say what we mean, and, you know, and they will be safe, you know, and Allah bless us. So I ask Allah to help us in the arena of business and taking care of ourselves as an individual and move on and get family life, community life going, because it's not spooky, you know. But I tell you one thing, Joe, we make the efforts and Allah make big business come our way. That's what he want for us. So that's the way I see it, and that's the way many brothers see it, and they out there and they doing and they taking care of that business for the community. So, you know, brothers, get yourself ready. And sisters, you know, we're working on it's going to happen for the private community. Inshallah. Alhamdulillah. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam, Bilal. Alhamdulillah. Praise be to Allah. You know, this address was given in 1985, if I'm correct, with the information provided with the address. The Imam was speaking into the situation and circumstances at that time. And if we take note of the year 2023, praise be to Almighty God, we have made and are making progress, significant progress from that year, him addressing the concerns. We acknowledge the progress that we are making and the progress that is being made. It is valuable to go back to the source and reinvigorate ourselves, stay attached to that soul that came alive within us And that is what we are doing with this address here. We can actually issue a progress report based upon what was occurring in 1985 and what is occurring now in 2023. There is progress has been made, and we're grateful to Almighty God, Allah, but let us stay connected with that original soul that generated and mine that generated the effort, so that we don't flag, so that we don't take a break. Say, oh, well, we're doing all right now. Everybody, let's just take no. When you complete one task, immediately get into another. So I'm grateful to say, based upon what was presented in 1985, that there has been progress made. This is not a gloom and doom situation we are in. We must be able to make an honest assessment concerning our movement toward progress. And we can only do that when we are connected with our humble beginnings, and there is still work that has to be done. Thank you, Bilal.
Alhamdulillah.
Thank you. That's part of the of this project, so that we can look back and gauge our progress. Look back and make an honest assessment of where we are at this time. I see Muhammad's mic is open. I'm going to open it up and see if he's ready to speak. 706-627. Okay, we'll return back to the address, Creator and Creation. Praise be to Almighty God Allah. Wonderful address here.
Be the white man going down, you should be going up. Right. That's just like you're being in a prison, right? Because America was a prison for us for a long time. Still is, in some, although you got freedom, but it's still kind of prison in many ways right now. Okay, just like people being in a prison, inmates being in a prison, and say, hey, we're innocent. We're not guilty, and they've been keeping us in prison all these years. And after a while, in time, the guards start getting weak and become frail and and they're still in prison now, and they don't see any more tough guards. Guards are all frail and sissified, and they're living a lifestyle that's making them more frail and more sissified. And the inmates now, is what they should do is start doing more exercise to keep their muscles up, right? But instead, they start following the lifestyle of the gods. They start doing the sissified thing, get frail and sissified. They just live their own sissy gods and sissy inmates. When the sissy inmates had an opportunity to take over while the gods were becoming sissies, huh? They had that chance to develop their muscles and get strong and take over the power from the sissy gods and free themselves. But instead of doing that, they follow the way of the gods. They follow the gods' lifestyle and become sissified too. So sissy gods, sissy inmates. Is that America? That's America. That's America and the masses. America's ruling order is getting weaker and weaker, becoming more and more sissified. Instead of the masses becoming stronger, they follow the sissified trend, they get weak too. So they stay prisoners. They stay prisoners, stay inmates. So understand these things and try hard to get your life in your own hands. Thank you. Try hard to get your life in your own hands, because without it, you're finished. You're finished. No help out there. The help is in the belief. The help is in the belief. There's opportunity out there, but only if you have something already in here. If you have nothing in here, then an opportunity out there are nothing but deception. Now, to complete this, I'll finish reading this. The hearer, he is the one who helped you, and also the believer. And he brought your hearts together in love and affection. In love and affection. Were you to have had all that is in the earth to spend to gain that from them, you would have not been able to gain that from them. In other words, Prophet Muhammad, Allah is saying to Prophet Muhammad, if you had all the wealth in the whole earth to spend on the people, to lend their hearts to you, you couldn't have gained the amount of sincerity and love and affection that they have in their hearts for you and for each other. But it is God that brings that affection for you between them in their hearts. It is God that brings that affection for the prophet in their hearts and also for them. So we conclude with this, that God is one, also the rewards must come from him. All the rewards must come from him. If you expect to have good relationship with each other, if we expect to have good relationship as Muslims with each other, and we care about each other, we're going to have to first be believers in God. Some of us take the religion lightly and we don't really believe in God strongly. That causes a problem for all of us. The more we believe in God, the more we are committed to obeying him out of fear and love for him, the better the chance is going to be for us to have good relationship with each other. That's the condition. The condition for us to have love and good relationship with each other and trust between each other is that we first have complete faith and love for Allah. That's the condition. Now, everybody's not going to be that way. The believers who are sincere to that, you should strengthen each other. You should strengthen each other. And let those people who care little for God, let them go to themselves. Let them go to themselves. You will weaken yourselves if you have all those weak-hearted, weak-faced people among you. So if you form a group to do something constructive, don't bring in the people who have weak faith, not if you're a person of real faith in Allah. Bring in the people who have strong faith in Allah, who show by their life that they really sincerely believe in God. Bring them into your constructive work. Whether it's business, education, I don't care what it is. Select them. And don't select those who are weak in belief. Because if you do, you're doing nothing but inviting trouble. So Allah has given us the answer. What we have to do is receive it and obey. Receive it from the Quran and the Sunnah of the Prophet and obey. And we'll be successful. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد.
You've been listening to Imam Walid Deen Muhammad.
Alhamdulillah. That concludes the address entitled Creation and Creator. Praise be to Almighty God. Allah is very instructive address. I'm grateful that the imam ended it on that note of how we treat one another. How we treat one another. There should be love for the believer in the believer's heart, for other believers, and those that treat believers harshly, to them harshly, and treat them harshly, they have to increase their faith in Almighty God. For Allah created that person that you treat harshly or in some kind of offensive fashion, some kind of offensive way. Praise be to Almighty God, Allah. That is very important. I can gauge you by how you treat the believer. Praise be to Allah. I'm going to open up the mic of error code 251404. Assalamu alaikum. Welcome to the evolution of and created purpose. Who am I speaking to?
This is Henry Hasib in Mobile, Alabama. I got a lot out of it there, and my mind is still expanding. But what I was thinking about there, you know, when we look at Muhammad the Prophet, peace be upon him, we say Muhammad the Prophet is a universal prophet. But a lot of times we don't treat him as though he's a universal prophet. We treat him like others treat their prophet, that he's our own. I've heard little sayings say, well, he's our prophet and Allah's messenger, that he brought the message from Allah, which I can agree to that. But if we begin to look at Muhammad the Prophet as what he was and what he is, a universal prophet, then we will stop doing like others do there in their religion, in their conduct and life, as though he came at the inclusion of some and exclusion of others. You know, when we say Muslim, we know that we have our meaning, that when we really get down to Muslim, we say everything in creation that Allah, that God made, he made it Muslim. But most people don't understand that. But sometime in our treatment, as you're saying, sometime in our harsh treatment, we treat maybe those who profess to be Muslim or taking Shahada, but others we don't treat like Muslims. And what I'm saying here is we need to expand our thinking that everything God made was Muslim, and start following those universal principles, which should be the principles that we have, which should be applied universally, as to say that we're going to treat all human beings good, and we will only work against those who work against good or God's way there. And we won't get tied up in whether I pray standing up and you pray sitting down. And those type of little things that seem to always divide us and keep us divided, that we can't fight against the good, the bad things that is happening to both of us. And I think if we do that, we're going to make a lot more progress as not just as a Muslim community, but as a human community, to make this distinction, to bring what Allah has charged the human being with, bringing about the progress and all that was talked about earlier, and then how we're making progress, not just as a person who have taken the Shahada, but we're making progress as the human being, and that includes all of us. So that make a lot of sense where Imam Muhammad saying,
until we get to thinking as a man, since we got the white man, then think as the white man, but don't take the burden of the black man. And then when you can get clear enough, then just think as a man. And I agree with that 1,000%. And I think if we do that, we will make even more progress. I just wanted to add that. As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum as-salam, Brother Henry. Would you share with the listening audience the broadcast that you co-chair Thursday mornings here on America Muslim 360? If you
I would be more happy. I would be more than happy to share that. We come on every Thursday at 6 a.m. in the morning, Central Standard Time. That's 7 o'clock Eastern, and I think about 4 o'clock Pacific. So those who's up are getting ready for prayer on the West Coast, they get a little early, and they will tune in also. But our program is called Critical Issues, where we try to look at the issues that is affecting our lives, all of our lives, and bring about solutions and talk about solutions and how we can go about making a better world.
Yes,
and
sir.
Thank you,
Brother.
For that. But I this program, the talk that you played today, I think it needs to be played over and over, unless it should be listened to over and over and over again, because it really holds a key to the progress that we need to make as human beings. And I do believe that we can, as Muslims, and when I say Muslim, I can't even say all Muslims. I'll say we can, as good people, lead the way to make this a better world to live in. As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum as-salam, Brother Henry, and I'm grateful that you mentioned a terminology, our prophet and Allah's messenger. Imam Muhammad has said to us, don't take this religion too personal. You know, don't.
Right.
Prophet Muhammad was not sent to the Muslims. Prophet Muhammad was sent to the whole world. So when we say he is our prophet, we are speaking for the whole of humanity. He is our prophet in as much as we accept him as the leader. And even those that don't accept him as the leader, whether they realize it or not, they are walking along the path of progress that he introduced to the whole world. So he will always be the leader, whether
mm-hmm.
people are conscious or unconscious of that. So,
mm-hmm.
So alhamdulillah, yes, we want to use the language
mm-hmm.
of inclusion and not the language of exclusivity. Like, he's our property, he's not yours, and we own him, he is our property. No, the Prophet Muhammad is not our property. He was presented as a mercy to all of humanity. So I'm grateful that you mentioned that, my brother, so that we can amend our language and not cause other people to see us as separate, as this is an exclusive membership that we have. So I'm grateful that you spoke along those lines, Brother Henry. Thank you, my brother.
Alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah. Okay, is there anyone else that would like to share before we move forward? Let me pause once more for some important public service announcements. And, okay, yes. And I ask you, don't touch that dial. We'll be back in a while, God willing. Inshallah, we shall move forward to another address and take our time. Take our time going through it. And we ask you to take down notes and be willing to share. like we have heard some important factors from out of this address by those of you that shared what Allah blessed you with from out of these wonderful addresses. So I ask you, don't touch that dial. We'll be back in a while, God willing, inshallah.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Dafrita Hadi, director of the CWSC Model Community National Resource Directory and host of Al Islam in Focus Learning Lab here on AM 360 Islamic radio station, asking you to join me Saturday evening, 7 o'clock to 9 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time, to share stimulating Islamic information and insight as we unite our spiritual and intellectual perceptions and cultivate our human existence together. Inshallah, I will hear you at the lab. Assalamu alaikum, and thank you kindly.
Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners. CWSC, the Community-Wide Shura Conference, invites you to join us every Tuesday and Thursday from 3 p.m. to 4 p.m. for CARE on Air. That's the Council on American Islamic Relations. Our American Muslim 360 host is Edward Ahmed Mitchell, attorney and deputy director. Edward Ahmed Mitchell is an attorney and former journalist who serves as the deputy director of the Council on American Islamic Relations, the largest Muslim civil rights and advocacy organization in the United States. Join us every Tuesday and Thursday, 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
The peace be on you. Assalamu alaikum. My name is Omar Shakir, and I'm resident imam of Masjid Bilal Ibn Rabah in San Antonio, Texas. And I would like to invite you every first Sunday from 12 to 1:30 p.m. Eastern Time to join us for our class where we're dealing with the subject matter of the basics in Al-Islam. We are excited about this program, even if we're new Muslims or Muslims that have been in the faith for many, many years. It is a wonderful opportunity to learn and understand this beautiful way of life. We also connected with various insights from the tafsir of Imam Waliduddin Muhammad radiallahu anhu, and we all explain its practical application. We look forward to being with you on every first Sunday of the month where we would deal with the basics of Islam. The peace be on you. Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum. Join us each and every Sunday from 5 to 7 Eastern Standard Time and 4 to 6 Central Standard Time for the broadcast of the contemplations of Imam Waliduddin Muhammad, sharing his insights, his wisdom, and his knowledge here on America Muslim 360, utilize the books edited by Brother Morocco, Brother Ghani, and Brother Ronald B. Shaheed. So we look forward to your presence as we share the insight, the logic, and the thinking of our beloved Imam Waliduddin Muhammad here on America Muslim 360 on a myriad of subject matter. We look forward to your presence. Assalamu alaikum.
See the full picture.
Feel the void.
Read the Muslim Journal.
Bringing humanity together.
It's news with truth.
It's journalism with understanding.
Each week, Muslim Journal features the latest headline stories. Get a fresh perspective on American politics with informative editorials on the news and stories that affect you and your community the most. Muslim Journal also features exciting reports from around the globe. Subscribe to the Muslim Journal and stay informed about the world we live in today.
See the full picture.
Subscribe to the Muslim Journal today.
Alhamdulillah, I strongly encourage us to get, if you don't have one, get a subscription to this wonderful news outlet, the Muslim Journal. That way you can stay abreast of the happenings and the progress being made in this association. For those that say, we ain't doing nothing, we're not this, and we're not doing this, and we're not doing that. Well, that lets me know that that person is not enjoying the benefits of Muslim Journal, for it has within it wonderful articles, news, you name it, and also projects and progress being implemented among the human beings, especially among us as Muslims. I'm looking at an article now from February 4th to the 10th edition of Muslim Journal 2023. And there's an article in here that is heading in, Black People Coming Together, Building Multiple Communities in One Black-Owned Village. So I won't go into the content of it, but it's a wonderful article. It is sharing the independent efforts of establishing community life. Praise be to Allah. Okay. For those of you that have pressed one on your phone and your hand is still up, I ask you if you wish to share, leave your hand up and I will open up your mic. Or if you do not have anything to share, press one on your phone. I will open up your mic. I'm going to acknowledge the hand once more at 251-404. Assalamu alaikum.
Yes, I think I tried to get out of the queue and I didn't again. But I again would say I really enjoyed that and got a lot from it. And I hope to put it into action also. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam. Instructor Henry, praise be to Allah. We are grateful Allah has blessed us with you. You are valuable to us. Thank you, my brother. Okay, 727-741, your hand is raised. Before we move forward, I need to answer your raised hand.
Assalamu alaikum. Martha Nyla from St. Petersburg, Clearwater area in Florida. And you know what? It has gone away from me. I'm going to leave it out there. Alhamdulillah. I just say ditto to what Instructor Henry Harseed has said. So alhamdulillah. Thank you so much. Assalamu alaikum.
You're welcome. Assalamu alaikum, Martha. Praise be to Allah. Okay, we want to move forward with what time we have left. I'm going to share an address with you that I'm quite sure you have heard before, but it is in this setting that we take our time, we pause, is being said, and we discuss the valuable content and principles associated with these wonderful addresses and lectures. I'm quite sure many of you have heard the address entitled El Asr. El Asr. It is translated time, or time through the ages. It is a surah in the Quran. And our beloved Imam Wahdatuddin Muhammad is sharing with us the valuable content of this wonderful chapter. And may we benefit from his knowledge, his wisdom, his tafsir, his logic, his understanding, and the direction that we are aiming at and pointed toward. I bring you now Imam Wahdatuddin Muhammad on the subject of Al Asr, or time through the ages. May we all enjoy and benefit, praise be to Allah.
على رسوله الكريم محمد بن عبد الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وبعد with God's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer,
We witness that he is one. We give all praise to him who sustains the heavens and the earth, cares for all of his creation, especially for his human creation. And we witness that Muhammad, to whom the Quran was revealed, is his noble and generous messenger. And Allah says of him that we should salute him with prayer and with peace. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah says of him that he is a mercy to all the worlds. مَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ. He has not sent you except to be a mercy to all the worlds. لِلْعَالَمِينَ, to all the worlds. Everything that we have in Islam, from the Quran and from Muhammad, who received the Quran for us, directly or indirectly address something or addresses something that is in the scriptures that came before or in the religious traditions of the people that had religious communities before the coming of Muhammad, God's servant and messenger. Prayers and peace be upon him. It says in the Quran, God says, that is, in the Quran, that the Quran is all the word of God. Whereas other scriptures are not all the word of God. And we are not saying this. They say that. This is not us criticizing them. This is us just saying what they say of their own scriptures. Not all the words of God to the prophets. Others came behind the prophets and they wrote. And much that we find in the scriptures of others, other people outside of the Muslims, those scriptures carry the words and teachings of their holy people, their saintly people, their rabbis, their priests, etc., their monks, whatever. It is not all revelation from God. Even Paul is not accepted, the Apostle Paul. He is one of the main authors of the New Testament. And it's not agreed in Christian history. The Christian church, that all that Paul received was from God. So we only have Quran that claims to be only the word of God. Not nothing in there came from Muhammad himself. He was not able to speak those words. He was not learned in scripture. He was not even acquainted with scripture. It all stands to him. So none of that was from him. It all was inspired, came directly from the Most High God, Allah.
Alhamdulillah, on that note, I want to share my thinking based upon what has been said thus far. One of the C's, the three C's of the Quran, is a criterion of judgment, a correction, and a completion of the revealed word of Almighty God, Allah. The Quran makes plain what is from God and what is not from God. We will not find in the Quran scripture according to someone else. Scripture according to Mark, Paul, Matthew, Abu Bakr, Umar, Uthman. We will not find that type of reading in the Quran, the Surah Yunus, according to another person. It is all the word of Almighty God. And unfortunately, in Christian scripture, we find writings there. And I must admit that they do share with us that this is according to another person. It is not the authentic words of Almighty God. It is someone else's opinion. It is what someone else has written. And some of that, a lot of that, was not from God. Men wrote their biases into the scripture. Let me stop right there and return back to the address entitled Asura, or Time Through the Ages. Praise be to Allah.
Praise be. So Muhammad, the prophet, is a mercy to all of the world. And where we read in the Quran that this was revealed to him. He was not knowing anything. He had no access to any of your knowledge. This is made clear in the Quran of Muhammad the Prophet. It says also that if they wonder, what kind of book is this that leaves out nothing small or big? Leaves out nothing small or big. Now, it doesn't. What it's referring to, this is the key for us Muslims. To understand the Quran, we have to know the context that it is addressing. What context is it addressing? Is it addressing every book that ever appeared in the world? And it says it leaves out nothing, small or great, or small or large. No. That's too much and it's nonsense. A lot of foolishness. The Quran doesn't address foolishness and nonsense. The Quran only addresses what people claim to be the word of God, or what people claim that God authorized. The Quran only addresses that and no more. Only what people claim that they have from God, and it addresses what people claim God authorized. God authorized you to do these things that you're doing in the name of God. Quran has Muhammad responsible for challenging them and addressing them to make them prove that this that you claim that is not from God is from God. You see? These are the issues. These are the issues. The issues are found in the context of revealed knowledge and in the context of that the world used after revealed knowledge or even before to say that this is from God. This is from God. So Muhammad really comes as a messenger of God to correct what the world has that they claim is from God, to correct it. And that's what the whole Allah's words say in the Quran, that this is a correction on the previous books, the books that came before. This is a correction on the books that came before. And a plain teaching, come to make it plain, clear, very plain. Now, in addressing what came before, what came before also was the plan for the future, though it had not been fulfilled. The plans of man's future life on this planet to the day of judgment. And that means as long as we are human on this planet, God has already gave us guidance to take care of us for as long as we are humans on this planet. Now, in the early times, scripture came to pass addressing both their local conditions, but also pointing them to the conclusion of things. So scriptures before Prophet Muhammad and teachers in the scriptures, with the scriptures, pardon me, before Prophet Muhammad, prayers and peace be on him, they were pointing people also to the conclusions of things. And they were pointing to the signs that address the conclusion of things. So when God made man,
and put him on the earth as a responsible preacher to carry out God's will. God at that time inspired him to not only work in the present, but to work for the future. Every human being is created to not live in the present only. God created us with the nature to wonder how the future is going to be. And I have to prepare myself for the future. And if I can, I have to have others prepare themselves for the future. So this is what made prophets. The prophet nature is in every human being. Every human being is born with the prophet nature. We're the children of Adam, descendants of Adam. And Adam was not only the first man, but he's also the first prophet. He warned his children. He planned a life for the future. The need to prophesy grew stronger and stronger as man lived and experienced life in his environment. Trouble for that life produced more and more seers looking to the future, more striving to look into the future, to know where is this going. How can we prepare better for what we're going to face? It is common knowledge that the prophet nature is in all of us.
Praise be to Allah. Alhamdulillah. That is a very profound statement that the Imam is sharing with us, that the prophet nature is within every human being. Whatever Allah deposited and our father Adam is deposited in the descendants of Adam. And we, not only is Adam the genesis or the essence or the beginning of humanity, he is also identified as a prophet, We should have the capacity to see what is occurring in this present life that we are living and have enough experience, insight, and knowledge to predict where this is going. What is its finalization? What are the results of what we have been confronted with at this time? Where is this going? We should be able to look into the future and predict the benefit or the liability of where things are going. When we say prophet, we do not mean the prophetic office that Allah reveals canonized scripture, the words of Almighty God, to be placed in a book like our Prophet Muhammad. We pray the prayers and the peace upon him. Not at that level, but in our circumstances, our situation, and what Allah has shared with us from out of scripture. We should be able to look into the future and plan for our future, plan for the direction for ourselves and our lives and our children. So that prophetic nature, the nature is within every human being, I see Muhammad has raised his hand once more. I'm going to answer that call. Assalamu alaikum, Muhammad, from out of Columbus, Georgia.
Walaikum assalam. Yes, sir. Just want to share with you on that. And that Allah, we know everything comes to a life by Allah's permission, and everything has an end. And when Allah SWT tells us that the Prophet Muhammad SAW was the seal of the Prophet, this saving force that we had to be able to have human beings come and keep the image of the gold that is in our minds offered to us by Almighty God Allah for our deeds and our actions. But the Quran and the life example of Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Allah said, you are so close to the destiny that I have prescribed for you that you can see it now. You don't have to have someone give you warnings or give you encouragement by my permission to help you keep faith. He said, you can see the end now. All you got to do now is just build this model community with the resources I had left for you in your inheritance as being the completion, the opportunity completion of the human life that I have put here on this earth and its purpose. So we see the vision now. You know, we don't have to plan. All we got to do is follow the plan. The plan has already been made so clear. That's why I said that the Quran is one of these revelations we know that Allah with mercy has said this final Quran is clear. You can see the destiny. All you got to do now is just work and build, you know, the Ummah of Prophet Muhammad, using that paraphrase of clarity. And then man, the human being, can follow this leadership right on into the hereafter or the afterlife or whatever language they want to use, you know, according to their understanding. And so that's why we have that nature in it, but it's gone dormant for a reason by Allah's permission. We don't need it no more. We can see now with our own physical eyes to build skyscrapers, to build spaceships, to build and raise halal food, halal relationships. You know, we have all type of people that we even understand the halality of the mind. It's clear what's wrong with the mind and how truth is the only way to get the mind to come back to the proper discipline with the damage that it might have, but it's still going to really be functional, you know. And so I'm just saying, just want to share with you on that, because that is definitely, as you said, very clear, you know.
Yes, sir.
As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum as-salam. Thank you, Muhammad, for your valuable contribution. Thank you, my brother. Praise be to Allah. Okay, we return back to the address entitled Us or Time Through the Ages of Surah in the Quran.
We can never say Muhammad is our messenger. He's only Allah's messenger. But we always say he's our prophet. He's our prophet. He's flesh of our flesh and bone of our bone. He's human like we are. Well, I said to him, say to them, I'm a human mortal just like you are. And a national mythical words of God to him, the Quran. I am a human marvel like you are. And we should, the public of the world has advanced so much in human intellect since the time of the early prophets and since the time of the last prophet, Muhammad, prayers and peace be on him. The public have been advanced so much in the intellect, in the brain, knowledge. And we still talking to them like they are people that were in crowds 6,000 years ago, 4,000 years ago, thousands of years ago. We're speaking to them just like they're the same public. We haven't progressed our communication to our public, to our religious publics that respect their graduation in knowledge
And that's why most of the people nowadays, they don't have much patience with the preachers. They don't care to go to the houses of worship. Because the world is so far ahead of them in so many respects. The world is so far ahead of the religious leaders. Their leaders in these churches and mosques and synagogues, etc. So the Buddhists, all of them suffer that. The Buddhists, all of them, they suffer that. For some reason that I think can be explained. They think when you say the word of God never changed. I guess they think they mean the way to communicate it never changed either. And that's horrible. It is. For me, that's horrible. We have to respect our public, the intelligence in our public. And if they, if the public now can have more understanding, they are prepared to ask for more understanding, we should give them that understanding. And they don't have to ask for it with their mouth. They give us time. They ask for it with their attitude toward you. They ask for it with their treatment of you. They ask for it with their actions from you. We praise God, alhamdulillah, rabbil alameen. In the Quran, we read the chapter, small chapter, Al-Asr. We ask Allah protection from the rejected Satan, the enemy of all human beings. It begins, you know, with Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, as every other chapter except one, the ninth chapter of the Quran. It begins with the Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, then comes the words, Wal-Asr, by the time, translated also by the token of time. And it also means the hour. But scripture before said, a day with man is as a thousand. One day with the Lord is as a thousand years of mankind, of our life. So our thousand years is nothing but like one day with God. So this us is not an hour on the clock that you got up by Monday morning or whatever, whatever day it was. It's not that clock. Well, us, this is the hour. But this is a big measurement. A big measurement in the time of man. Big measurement. And it is a time of difficulty. We know from the word of the Quran is powerful and rich and potent in its power or in its capacity to communicate volumes with few words. Volumes with a few words. Well, I used to hear as a young man, interested, curious in the scripture, I used to hear that some imam overseas, that they took this al-Fatiha, one word or one line of al-Fatiha, and they did volumes. I would have said, I did say to myself, I didn't say it to anybody, I didn't want to hurt anybody, but I said to myself, yeah, we don't have anything to do but waste time. That was when I was young, you know. But now that I'm older and I have myself enriched my own self by my studies, and I have entertained myself in such a heavenly way, I put myself in like a heavenly environment. Just with my curiosity, searching God's words, put me in a heavenly environment. So I have enjoyed it so much that I look back on my young mind and the young expressions I made that I feel shame. I feel sorry. I want to apologize to those learned men that make the volume, Allahu Akbar, that make volume discussing this one little self ayah on one expression. And I feel right now, I know I wouldn't be bored. I could take a one last and I could write volume. Volume.
I'm checking the board now to see if anyone has raised their hand. If so, I want to acknowledge the raised hand. Okay, praise be to Allah. We need to address some of the imam's opening statements concerning the delivery of scripture, how it ignores or the intellect, the intelligence, the education that man has came into. You know, maybe in the 13th or 12th century, the majority of people were illiterate. The majority of people, let me say this to you, the majority of people on this earth were illiterate, could not read, were deprived of proper education, was deprived of proper education, and they looked to their leaders to give them direction. And so that way of speaking to them, maybe a man did believe in the 9th century or the 11th century that Jesus took 5 pieces of fish and 2 loaves of bread and fed 4,000 of people, fed their multitudes. Maybe his mind just accepted that. But we are educated now. We know mathematics is an exact science. An exact science. So to tell a man that now, it causes a great void, a great doubt in his thinking because he's educated now. Something given in that light of taking 5 pieces of fish and 2 loaves of bread and fed the multitude, that needs education. That needs a further explanation that agrees with our rational mind. Our rational mind. I'm going to stop at this time. I'm going to open up the mic of 334-419. We've only got about 6 minutes of broadcast time left. So if you would get directly to the point, and we look forward to your valuable sharing.
Thank you. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam.
I just want to briefly say that we acknowledge that we have law books, we have medical books, we have books on various fields of knowledge, and the language, the terminology used is different from the common everyday language that we utilize to communicate with one another. But when it comes to scripture, we leave that understanding behind us. And scripture is given to us in a greater degree than the law books or the medical books in terms of the language. Those who have higher education, they understand the terminology, you know, picture language, analogies, parables. Well, we understand parables, but we don't utilize parables in terms of how scripture is presented to elevate our thinking. And I'll stop there.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Michael. Praise be to Allah. you are so correct. There is a language associated with every discipline, with a body of knowledge. There is language associated with that. We, by way of law, we call it a legalese. You know, there are terms used there that if not explained, it will go over our heads. I'm going to open up the mic of Muhammad once more. 707-667-Assalamu
alaikum. Wa alaikum salam, right quick. That's why Allah, inshallah, permitted Imam W. Muhammad to tell us, you know, that we, the students in his community, and those who have learned from those students, should do a translation of the English that is spoken here in the United States of America, because we have that ability now to make that type of translation so it'll be clear to them. And all students of Al-Islam around the world, in whatever language they speak, Allah has blessed all of us to be in unison with being able now to talk to the world and explain to them and teach them the Quran, the life example and meaning of Al-Islam, halal, and any other word that they might ask that they have come across their life or their parents' life that is still a question in their mind. We have the ability now to make it clear. And that's why, again, in what we said a few minutes ago, the prophecy, it was sealed with Prophet Muhammad, because Allah has made it clear from there that we can use our own common sense to see what is right and see what is wrong. Ameen. I said,
Alhamdulillah. Praise be to Allah. I'm quite sure many of us are aware that we're hearing people say, I'm not religious, I am spiritual. I do not want to be part of an organized religion. That I believe that is due to the religious leadership not keeping pace with the intellectual growth of human beings, that you will give them a story that has no rational basis. They cannot use it in their rational lives. But if giving the proper education, if giving the proper terminology to show the connection between revealed scripture and the rational mind, feeds the intellect and takes the human being into greater vistas of growth, I believe we can turn that around. So religion has to make sense. It's not just an emotional expression. Not just an emotional expression. It is to aid the human being in the growth of his heart, but also in the growth of his intellect, education, and his brain. I must leave the air at this time. We are coming to the end of this broadcast. And inshallah, next Saturday morning, we hope to return back to the address entitled El Asr, or by the token of time, delivered by our beloved Imam Wafidi Muhammad. We ask you to tune back into American Muslim 360 for the next upcoming broadcast. Preparing our hearts and our minds to make it in the land of plenty. Hosted by Imam Delaysi Umar, I leave you with the greetings of peace of Assalamu alaikum.